بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا، صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أملك عليك لسانك وليسعك بيتك وابكي على خطيئتك، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, it's no secret that the generation we find ourselves in, the era that we live in, the times that we are seeing are very testing times, are times of difficulty, are times of strife with regards to our spiritual needs. The fitna, the mischief, the corruption on earth that we visualize daily is on the increase with no end at sight. The amount of self control and self-restraint that a man has to exercise to hold himself back from falling to temptation, respected friends and elders, is increasing all the time. And even more so over the next few weeks. We are now entering into what they refer to as the festive season. The festive season is a time of festivity. It's a time when people indulge and overindulge. It's a time when people like to merry make. It's a time when people lose themselves. And respected friends and elders, people lose themselves in many different ways. Some in the form of vice, sin and zina. Some may be in the form of drugs, alcohol. Some may be in the business place with the temptation there to make an extra buck. The temptation to increase the figures. We are tempted from all sides and on all spheres, respected friends and elders. And all of this culminates on one night at the end of the month, when the entire globe competes with each other. The entire world competes as to who can throw a bigger bash. In essence, this is actually a competition as to who can disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. Who can have the best time on that one night? Unfortunately, having a best time in today's day and age entails sin. So those people have the best time who commit the most amount of sin on that night. Beloved brothers, in these days, it is not just our physical self at stake. Rather, it is our iman at stake. It is our deen that is at stake. When these temptations, a man is faced with these temptations, then it is like slippery stone, there's no end thereafter. If we don't pull up the brake before, if we don't plan ahead of time, then it will be too difficult, respected friends and elders, the brakes will fail when it is too late. Before we head into the season, every man, every person, every woman, and every father and mother of the household, we need to sit back and think and plan. How are we going to save ourselves? My children are on holiday. We are in the holiday mood ourselves. How do we save ourselves as well as our children from being trapped by these forces of fitna, the forces of shaitan? We plan for every other form of danger that we sense. If there may be some shortage of fuel, we plan for that. If the price is going up, we plan for that. If there may be shortage of any other commodity in the dunya, then we make plans. If there's any other fear that we have, then we make adequate plans ahead of time. There is nothing that a person can be robbed of which is more valuable than being robbed of his iman. We don't realize the harm and the extent of sin when a man takes that step, respected friends and elders. And as I mentioned, sometimes it's very difficult for him thereafter to pick up that handbrake. Then the brakes fail. So we need to prepare ourselves. How are we going to spend the next few weeks safeguarding our iman, safeguarding the iman of our wives and children, safeguarding our deen, not falling trap, not falling prey to the temptations of shaitan and nafs. A sahabi once asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, Ya Rasulullah, man najah? O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is salvation? The sahabi was asking about salvation, salvation from fitna, salvation from mischief and corruption and sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the answer he gave was better than the question. He asked, the question was about what's the definition of salvation? How do we know that this is salvation? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered by telling him what are the steps he needs to take to attain salvation. Sometimes more important than knowing something is how to acquire it. Alhamdulillah, we know so much. We hear so much. But how much have we acquired in our lives? That is the real question. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of giving him the definition of salvation, gave him the formula for salvation. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things. Amlik alayka lisanak, control your tongue. Waliyasa'ka baytuk, your home should be sufficient for you, remain in your home. Wabki ala khati'atik, and cry over your sins. In essence, respected friends and allies, these are the things that we need to save ourselves in this day and age as well from the fitnas that we will experience outside. That to watch our tongues, to watch who we interact with, who we speak with, and what do we speak. If you are in the wrong company, respected friends and allies, then we are tempted to make remarks that resemble the remarks of that bad friend and the wrong company that I may have. He may boast about some wrong he may have done. And then I may say the same. And by me saying it, your statements and your words sometimes turn into action. Like they say, watch your words before they become action. And watch your action before they become your habits. So once you said it, you're going to end up doing it even if you didn't do it. If you were in bad company and somebody said something bad, then you're going to want to contribute to that kind of a bad discussion by saying something else that is also bad. أَمْلِكْ عَلَيْكَ لِسَانَكْ, control your tongue. And in this day and age, respected friends and elders, we need to control the thumb as well, the finger, the thumb. Many of us say things with the tongue and we type things with the thumb that we're not supposed to say or type, respected friends and elders. And unfortunately, it has become easier for a person to say the wrong via his thumb by typing it out on his device than on his tongue. We fail to realize that what we are typing, what we are messaging is part of our action, is part and parcel of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about on the day of Qiyamah. A man understands, I can't say something disrespectful to this particular elder, that particular alim. I can't say it in front of other people, but from behind the screen somehow it becomes easier, unfortunately. And like that, every other wrong becomes easier from behind the screen when the thumbs are in motion. So the first prescription to save yourself in the times of fitna, like in the current season we find ourselves in, and this is a prescription for life and not only in this season, that control your tongue, watch what you say, whether it be physically with the tongue or what you say with your thumb by typing out on your screens. In essence, this is actually a command for us to watch who we interact with, as I mentioned. If you interact with good people, you won't have a chance to say something bad. If you interact with the good people, you will hear good and you will say good. But if you interact with the bad, then you will hear bad and you will be influenced to say bad. You will be influenced to say wrong. And that interaction, respected friends and allies, whether it be real or virtual, interaction with good people should remain all the time, whether it be in the virtual world or more so in the real world. And refraining from interaction with bad company and bad people and bad friends applies in the real world, and we understand this to an extent. It applies even more importantly today in the virtual world. The tongue may be very small, respected friends and elders, very light, but the far-reaching implications, the far-reaching effects of the tongue can never be underestimated. And as human beings, we have this nature that we are influenced greatly by the people we interact with. The friends we keep, the company you are, is the company you keep. عَنِ الْمَرْءِ لَا تَسْأَلْ وَسَلْ عَنْ قَرِينِ. You want to inquire about a person, then the Arabic proverb says, don't ask about him directly. It's some kind of a proposal, a business proposal, marriage proposal. You want to inquire about this person, then don't ask directly about him. وَسَلْ عَنْ قَرِينِ. Ask about his friend. Ask about his company. If he's a person who is in good company, he's a good man. If he's in the company of the cheats, then he may just be another cheater like them. If he's in the company of the sinful ones, those who engage in vice and other wrongs, then there's a great chance and possibility he is one of them. Birds of a feather flock together. So we take great effect by the people we interact with and we meet and who we speak to, respected friends and elders. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the effect of good company and bad company. In the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, that مَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ الصَّالِحِ وَمَثَلُ الْجَلِيسِ السُّءِ كَحَامِلِ الْمِسْكِ وَنَافِقِ الْكِيرِ. The example of good company and the example of bad company is like a musk seller. Your good friend is like the musk seller. If you are sitting in the company of that musk seller, then you will benefit in a good way, in some way or the other. Maybe you may be tempted to purchase some musk or fragrance from him, or he may give you a slight taste and a sample. And if not, the bare minimum is, as long as you are there, you will inhale a good fragrance. And just by virtue of being in that shop, when you leave, you will find that fragrance on your body. And the opposite, bad company, is being in the company of a blacksmith, a person working with fire, soot and smoke all the time. In some way or the other, you stand to lose. That fire may come onto your clothing and burn you, or burn you on your body. If not, then that soot will come and mess your clothing. And if not, the bare minimum is you will get that bad smell as long as you are there. And when you leave also, your body and clothes will be smelling. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions that the underlying message here is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing us, we will definitely take effect from the company we keep. Even if you cannot see it, because that smell cannot be seen, but it's there. You are in good company, you will get that good smell, you can't see it. But the effect is on you. And if you are in the bad company, you cannot see the bad smell. But the effect is there. صاحب خيار الناس تنجو مسلما. Keep the company of the good people, the pious people. The ulama, the sulaha, the mashayikh. In the masjids. Out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the majalis, in the madrasas. Keep their company. تنجو مسلما. You will be safe and completely safe. وَصَاحِبْ شِرَارَ النَّاسِ يَوْمًا. And if you keep the company of the bad people for one day also, وَصَاحِبْ شِرَارَ النَّاسِ يَوْمًا فَتَنْدَمَا, you will end up regretting. How many a times, respected friends and elders, haven't we seen, and every one of us, if you sit back and think and ponder, we will realize that we have also seen examples in our life. That you see two youngsters growing up in the same community, coming to the same masjid, going to the same madrasa downstairs and same maktab. But as they grow up, they take different paths. They have different sets of friends. And a few years later, when you see both of them, then it's the difference of chalk and cheese. They are on two completely contrasting paths. One, mashallah, you can see the signs of Islam and deen on him. He may have become a hafiz of Quran. He may have become a alim. And if not, bare minimum, you can see iman and Islam. The man never lost his deen. And the other, we are not here to judge anyone, respected friends and elders. But sometimes we should take notice for the purpose of taking lesson. Not to look down on any particular individual. But the other, sometimes we find they both were friends. But now, years later, we find he's on a completely different path. He may be in some rehab center. Or he may be in such a condition that sometimes, Allah save us, when you look at him, you can't even recognize him as a Muslim. What happened? They both were in the same area. They both were friends when they were young. They attended the same madrasa. But the company you are is the company you keep. So in amlik alika lisana, control your tongue and watch what you say. Watch who you sit with. Because your talk also is influenced by who you meet and who you mix. The second advice Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave was, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. That let your home be sufficient for you. Remain indoors. When there's fitna outside, then the safest place is to be indoors, to be inside. When it's raining, respected friends and elders, and you are outside, then irrespective of who you are, even the five-time namazi will get wet. The most pious person will get wet. And that one who's not a five-time namazi, one who's not so pious also will get wet. When it's hot, we all feel hot. When it's cold, we all feel cold. When the environment outside is of sin, vice and festivity, then it'll affect everyone. It'll affect everyone if you go to those places, respected friends and elders, where it's all the hype is there for festivity and merrymaking. Then irrespective of who you are, it's difficult to protect yourself. Again here, as humans, we are affected by those whom we associate with and by what we see, the environments that we frequent. We are greatly influenced by this. And for this, there are many examples as well. A person got no intention, he's walking past the shop. And all of a sudden people are rushing and he sees a crowd. Then that creates curiosity. What is this? What are they selling? Then he gets tempted and he goes and he finds a particular item being sold. It's on sale, half price. Then he also gets tempted and he buys. Because he was there, he was affected by that environment. Group of friends are sitting together. The environment of a particular sports match is taking place. This man doesn't know anything and how the scoring takes place also in that particular match. He asks, what's the score? He don't know who's playing also. He gets tempted. So the environment, respected friends and allies, the places we frequent also have an effect on us. And in these days, the next few weeks, unfortunately, there will be no shortage of evil environments and bad environments. During these days, respected friends and allies, to stay away from these places. The hadith said, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, stay in your home. But the question comes, the question arises that today, even in the homes, there's fitna taking place. Today, even in the homes, there's vice taking place. But let's ponder, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remain in your home. If your home is a cinema, then it's not a home. If your home is some movie studio where they're making movies and taking pictures all the time, then it's not a home. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't speaking about that. If your home is some amusement park where people are amusing themselves all the time, then it's not a home, it's an amusement park. If your home is a disco where music is played the entire day, then that's not a home, that's a disco. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay in your home. A home is where a person goes for peace. To leave all of these things, all his other engagements outside. And he goes home and he spends family time in the home. He spends time with his family in the home. So, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, remain in your home, away from all of these attractions, whether it be the discos in any sophisticated form, the cinemas in any sophisticated form, the amusement centers and amusement parks in any other sophisticated form, shun all of that and remain in the home with your family. Save yourself, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers, O you who believe, save yourself and your family from fire of Jahannam. Don't bring Jahannam in your house. Leave it outside and stay with your family in the home, protecting yourself from what is outside. So if there is outside influence in the home, it needs to be curbed, respected friends and elders. Unfortunately, in general today, humanity is facing this challenge of overindulgence. We suffer from this ailment of overindulgence, whatever it may be, whether it be entertainment, whether it be sin. But we cannot stop. It's all the time we are indulging. Therefore the homes have become discos and cinemas. Therefore the homes have become amusement parks. Therefore sometimes we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. My own eyes have seen in the house of Allah people who may be classified as close to deen as well. And again, I'm not here to judge anyone, but to show how it has gripped one and all, sitting and playing games in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the overindulgence that we have been caught up with. You are sitting in front of an elderly person, your father, some respectable person, some elderly person, and still you are busy chatting away with somebody else. We got no respect because of this overindulgence. That takes us to the third advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيئَتِكَ, save yourself from the fitna by making tawbah, crying over your sin. That man who cries over sins, that person who makes tawbah will not end up in sin. He's not doing sin, he's making tawbah. So save yourself as much as possible from sin. Save yourself from overindulgence. Save yourself from releasing yourself and losing yourself all the time. Respected friends and elders, as I mentioned at the beginning, if we do not plan in advance, if we do not put something in place, if we do not make a stop and think, then it will be too late. The brakes will fail when it's too late. This overindulgence, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah mentions, two lines of poetry that are so profound, so inspiring. He says, وَمِنَ الْبَلَاءِ وَلِلْبَلَاءِ عَلَامَةٌ. It's a calamity and there are signs of calamities. وَمِنَ الْبَلَاءِ وَلِلْبَلَاءِ عَلَامَةٌ أَلَّا يُرَى لَكَ عَنْ هَوَاكَ نُزُوعُ. That there's no end in sight of your desires. That's a calamity. That if all the time I desire to do this, I desire to visit this particular site and you visit, I desire to see this particular picture and I see it, I desire to interact with this particular person and I do it. All the time there's a desire. I want to make more money. I want to have more entertainment. I want to and I want. That want, if there's no end to want, then this is a sign that you got problems. Not just that person whose business is going down. Not just that person whose debts are gone very high is in problem. More serious problem. ومن البلاء. It's a sign of bala and calamity. That there's no end to your want and your desire. العبد عبد النفس في شهواتها. A real slave. A slave in the true sense of the word is that person who is slave of his nafs and his desire. A slave generally, respected friends and elders, is bound to do whatever his master wants of him. The days of slavery may be long gone, but in the words of Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, there are many of us, and myself I should check first, there are many of us who are still shackled in slavery. And there is a slavery of one's nafs and desire. Al-abdu abdu nafsi fi shahawatiha. Whatever the shahawat tell us, whatever the desire is, we do. That's the relationship a slave has with his master. If that's what I'm doing, whatever my soul wants, whatever my desire wants and I do it, that means I am a slave of my soul. I am shackled by my nafs and shahawat and desire. وَالْحُرُّ يَشْبَعُ مَرَّةً وَيَجُوعُ. And then he says, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah mentions, a free person. You know, we say we are in a democratic world. We are free. We have left slavery long ago. But if you really want to be free, respected friends and elders, then he says a free person is that person who may eat to his full one time, and then he stays hungry the next time. Al-hurru yashba'u marratan. He eats to his full sometimes. In other words, sometimes he falls into the sin. Sometimes he may do it. But on other occasions he has that restraint. He has that strength within himself to hold himself back. يَشْبَعُ مَرَّةً وَيَجُوعُ. The next time he'll remain hungry. A free person is a person who has that amount of عِزَّةُ nafs. That he's got people around him who need to share with him as well. He can't have the food all the time. He eats also and then he shares with the man who was hungry in the morning. He ate in the morning. In the evening he shares with the next person. He eats to his full one time. And the next time he sacrifices. That's a free person. So here in this sphere, respected friends and allies, a free person is that one who maybe fell into the sin and the guna at once, but thereafter he practices that restraint. يَشْبَعُ مَرَّةً وَيَجُعُ. Time is short, respected friends and allies, but the season now is season of sin. And as I mentioned at the beginning, that the entire dunya is competing with each other as to who is going to commit the most sin. Who is going to commit the most sin? If we don't watch who we interact with, if we don't watch the places we frequent and the environments we frequent, respected friends and elders. And if we don't make tawbah of our sins and practice restraint, Allah save us, then we'll also get carried away with this wave. How often do we hear of Muslims who have been found in these parties? How often do we hear of Muslims being found and frequenting the drug dens and the places where vice takes place? This is an example one person mentioned. He says there was a person by the name of John. John and his wife Jane, at the beginning of Dhul-Hijjah, they go to the nearest farm and they buy themselves a one-year-old ram. They have it delivered a few days later. They got a special place for it in their yard. They care for it, they feed it, they give it water, etc. Their children also come and play with it. And on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, on the day of Eid al-Adha, Bakri Eid like we refer to it as, John and his wife Jane and their family come down. And it's the entire, you know, there's whole spirit and feeling about the whole thing. They all are there to witness the qurbani and they slaughter that animal. And as the working boy is now skinning that animal, they look at their watch and they realize it's getting late. It's already 10 o'clock. So they rush back in the home. They change their clothing and now they head to the church. So we will be thinking to ourselves, is this person a Muslim or a non-Muslim? Is he a Muslim or a Christian? Because the morning what he was doing was what a Muslim does. And by midday, he's doing what a Christian does. Is he John or Junaid? Is his wife Jane or Jamila? Why? Why does this example sound odd to us? Because it doesn't happen, respected friends and others. It doesn't happen. Therefore, when I mentioned it, you thought this is far-fetched. And yes, it is far-fetched. But how come, I ask you this question, how come, and Allah save us, it is not odd? How come it's not odd for us to hear of the Muhammads and Ahmads of this ummah parting away on a New Year's night? How come it's not odd for us to hear of the Aishas and Jamilas of this ummah, respected friends and others, attending some function of filth and vice and haram? How come it has become so normal that when a Muslim does what they do, then it's all normal? But when we hear about they doing what we do, then it's all odd. It's supposed to be the other way around. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the deen of Islam, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is sufficient for us and for them. What they have, respected friends and allies, is Jahannam. What they have is sin. What they have is eternal doom. Allah save us and save them as well. It's supposed to be the other way around. Not us as Muslims aping what they are doing. The yardstick of fun and entertainment has been changed, respected friends and elders. The yardstick of entertainment, the yardstick of satisfaction has been changed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. What is wanted of us over the next few weeks, respected friends and elders, is to make a plan how we are going to save ourselves, wherever we may be, as adults as well. And how are we going to save our children? How are we going to protect ourselves from the waves of fitna, so that when this few weeks passes, and by the second of next month, then alhamdulillah, tanju musallama, you can be safe, sahib khiyar al-nas. Then stay in the company of the pious, stay in the company of the good, frequent the good environments, come to the masjid, go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attend the masjid of some pious person, spend your time in good company, and make tawbah for our sins, respected friends and elders. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep us safe. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that if you want najah, you want salvation, you want to be safe, you want to be secure, safe from fitna, you want to be safe from the attacks outside, from foreign influences, then this is what you do. Amlik alayka lisana, control your tongue and watch who you interact with. Wal yasa'ka baytuk, watch where you go, stay in your home. Wabki ala khati'atik, and cry over your sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari rahimahullah mentions, as a targhib, as an encouragement and as an incentive, that let us try and abstain from sin. Try, maybe we made that plan. Maybe we were supposed to attend a particular function and a particular party. Let's try. He says, Jalla Rabbuna, ayyu amilahu al-abdu naqdan, fayujaziyahu nasi'atan. Our Allah is jaleel. Our Allah is great. Allah is not like this, that if the slave deals with Allah cash, that Allah will repay him on credit. No, Allah will repay him cash as well. Let us try. Cash, if we had some intention of evil and vice, now we make tawbah, respected friends and elders, and shelve that plan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay us also in cash in some way or the other, in whichever way is best for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.